What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
You are on 98.5. It's Weekdays with Mike. Good to be with you today on this beautiful Friday morning. And joining me on the line this morning is our regular guest, Daniel. And Daniel, you are down in Tasmania, is that right?
That's correct, Mike. Got here late last night. It's good to be in Hobart. It's beautiful down here.
Of course. I've never been to Tassie, but it is on my list of destinations to go to. I don't know why I haven't done it, but I should do it.
It's my second time here. I wish I'd done it sooner, but yeah, I'm excited for the week ahead and have just come from Queensland.
Okay. Now tell us, just to reset you from Collective Share, just share a little bit about what you have been doing in schools up on the East Coast.
Thanks, Mike. It's been a wonderful time. So obviously I work for Collective Shout and we go into schools, my colleague Melinda Sankard-Reese and I, and we work with the young people to help them make sense of the culture around them, in particular to be able to look at how pop culture, media, advertising, sexualized media is giving them ideas about relationships, love, their bodies and sex, and how it's not necessarily in their best interest. It's not necessarily helping them make healthy decisions. And so we show them that and then encourage them to aspire for something far better for their lives, to reject those pressures and to hold to their values.
Excellent. Great work you both are doing, amongst others as well. Can you share a little bit about some of the feedback that you've had last week in some of the schools you've been to?
Yeah, it was such a privilege. I shared some of it on my socials last week, but we were working with the year fives and sixes, and obviously that looks a little bit different to how I would speak to the year 11s and 12s, but I was running a little workshop exercise with the year fives and sixes where I asked the question, you know, what can we celebrate in one another that's not just about our looks? It's not about how attractive we are physically, because obviously there's so much more to us than that. And it's just incredible doing this with primary school children, because the first response was achieving your goals. And the next one was having a go even when you're scared. And then the next one was like being a good friend. It was just so wonderful to hear that kind of innocence and to hear that that's the kind of things that we should celebrate in one another. And it's like, wow, how good would life in the world look if that's what we actually valued?
Do you touch on the whole sexualization thing with those year fives and year sixes? Or what does that look like in primary school?
It's very much helping them to make sure they know what to do if they feel unsafe around a person or online. And because the tragic reality is that young kids, especially during COVID, with access, more and more access to screens, laptops, phones, were approached by predators online. And so the conversation is more about how to trust your instincts, encouraging them to speak to an adult if they feel unsafe or someone is making them feel uncomfortable. So we just want to really validate that, and so that they would know that within the school and obviously with their parents, that they're not going to be in trouble, that people care for them and are going to look after them if that's something that happens to them. And tragically, they do know of these stories and these experiences, either through watching the news or listening to things on the radio or things that they've heard about in class.
Now, Daniel, knowing what you do, and I'm just trying to think from a parent's perspective, is there enthusiasm from parents of primary school kids to have a better understanding of what you are going to be talking to their young kids about, particularly in primary school? Is there more of an interest at that level than perhaps high school?
Yeah, definitely. Of course, you know, like a lot of parents are involved in this process, and we do parent and community sessions, so they know exactly what we're talking to their kids about. So that obviously we as a community, when we work with the school, everyone's invested, the students, the staff, the parents, community, it's a whole of community approach. And so, yeah, the parents, obviously, we encourage that, you know, we want to encourage that relationship and that it would be a safe space for them to have these conversations and to equip parents to be able to have these conversations as best as they can with kids. And it's easier for me because I don't really freak out, but I can only imagine what it would be like as a parent if you found out that you know, your child had discovered certain things online and how heartbroken you would be. So we just try to normalize that and normalize speaking to a trusted adult about these things.
It's good. Daniel, I'll put you back on hold. Are you okay to hang on there in the wonderful state of Tasmania?
Happy to.
Are you wearing a beanie and a jacket?
I do have a jumper on today, first time this year.
I thought that might have been the case. We always think about cold weather with Tasmania. I'll put you back on hold, Daniel. Daniel, you've been doing some work up through the East Coast, through Queensland particularly. You've been talking to primary school kids, year five and year six. I would imagine you would get some curly questions that the kids would ask, but what does the questions look like as you progress when you start dealing with the teenagers in high school?
That's a good question, Mike. So recently I was in a co-ed school in Queensland and was working with the year 8 to 11. Mm-hmm. And pleasingly, the boys were just so leaning into this conversation. And granted that a lot of my work is critiquing a lot of the toxic culture that they're being exposed to, in particular pornography and sexualized media that their lives are just bombarded with. And so we do a lot of pushback on the negative and the things that aren't helping them. But then the question that remains is like, well, what does it look like to do this well? What does it look like to form healthy relationships? And one of the most encouraging moments was well after the session had finished and into their lunch break, they were still hanging back afterwards and had a group of young men asking me, and they said, you know, what does a healthy relationship look like? What does it look like to do romance and sexuality well and to do this healthily outside of what pornography is teaching them? Mm-hmm. And that for me is like, it just was such a confirmation that we're pointing in the right direction here, because we've pushed back on that. And now there's this opportunity to speak positively and proactively into what their relationship should look like. And I usually ask the question to them is like, well, what do you think a good man, like, how does he act in his relationships? How does he treat women? And what does that look like? And so They're the kind of questions that I think once we get to the core of what we're there to do, that's what these young men were coming forward with. And that was just such a wonderful opportunity. And we ended up just continuing to talk about what does it look like to be healthy men and not be dominating, not to be controlling, not to see women just for their bodies, but actually to serve them, to care for them, to make sure that they feel safe in our presence. And these sorts of things.
There's enthusiasm from the boys. Does it look different with you separate them? The girls have got one session, the boys have got another. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We usually take them separately, and in an ideal world, depending on what the school allows, we then bring them back together at the end for like a humanizing workshop where it's about understanding the experiences that they're going through. I think for the young women, the biggest thing that I noticed the difference is it seems like it's a sigh of relief. Mm. Like, oh, someone's finally helped me make sense of the world around me and in a sense validate my experience of it, where everything is sexualized, where it seems like young women are up for grabs, where we're just there to be put on display. And so for a lot of young women, the feedback that we get is this was really validating. This was refreshing. Because they probably haven't had the permission, depending on the type of schools that they're at or kind of what their friendship group is like, to actually say, no, I don't want to participate in this hyper-sexualized culture. That's not what I want to be valued for. There's other things that I want to be acknowledged for in this world.
So both the boys and the girls, they're not holding back in really pushing forward and having some really good discussions on this.
They don't. And this is the thing that encourages me every single time. And I said this recently, where it's like people said, "How, Dan, how do you have the hope to keep doing this? Because it's really hard conversations." And I said, well, it's because of the response. And I recognize as an outsider coming to the school and not being their parent or teacher, I have access to have conversations that perhaps are a little bit easier for me. But I obviously then encourage them to continue those conversations with their trusted adults. But the conversations for me always just go so, so well, because I think at the end of the day, we are speaking to what the global research suggests. We are speaking to the reality of the experiences, because we share stories of other young people. And that's usually a springboard for them to come forward and say, yeah, that's been my experience too. And so that is why I feel like this message is just is so necessary and so needed. And so we're so grateful for the schools that, you know, open up space for this conversation, and then they're so pleased afterwards because of the impact it has and the feedback that they're now getting from their students. And that again happened yesterday when I was in Moreton Bay in Brisbane. The boys just leaned into this. There was a bit of nervous giggles for the year sevens and eights at the beginning because, you know, they saw the word sex on the board.
Yeah.
In the context of sexualization, just for those listening at home. And it's like, you know, we unpack what that is and how that's not helping them form good beliefs and attitudes about themselves. And then by the end of the session, the teachers and I are just, you know, so affirming the young men on how well they leaned into this conversation and showed these incredible critical thinking skills, this media literacy to look at these messages, look at these advertisements and see how they weren't portraying women in a good light and how that's not helping them to form respectful relationships, which is what they want.
So they good, yeah. That. Daniel, you okay to hold on there? We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. On 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Daniel from Collective Shout is on the line with us from Tasmania today. Now, Daniel, you've been up through the east coast of Queensland there talking to a whole bunch of different schools. Do you get a sense with the feedback from a lot of the boys when you run these sessions that deep down they kind of know that what they're doing and the culture's not appropriate?
That Mike, is exactly it. I think when you actually give them the tools and the language to realize that they've been sold a bit of a lie by the world around them, that it actually isn't in their best interest, they recognize it. And I think the biggest thing is I definitely do challenge the boys a lot, but it comes from a place of me saying to them that I believe in your potential, that you guys can be such good men in this world. And I think with it is giving them a vision of what it could be for them to be a good man in the world is so, so needed. Because, of course, we don't necessarily have the best cultural role models for our young men if they don't have a good dad or granddad or uncle or older brother in their life. A lot of them are looking around trying to work out, how do I model who to be as a man in this world? And so wanting to amplify those values that we all say are good and important and then to celebrate them for that. And so we do this all the time, and I did it again yesterday where I give them scenarios that are not necessarily healthy of how potentially a man could treat a woman. I ask them to unpack that and then ask them, like, what would it look like to flip it in the other side and to be respectful, to be kind, to make other people feel safe and valued. And I just see the best elements of boys, like I really, really do. And I wish I could bottle that and share that with the rest of the world, because we need that hope. We need that inspiration. But also we need to amplify and celebrate those stories to make that more of the cultural norm.
Yeah. So when you're with these boys, it's not so much you are there almost like in teacher form lecturing them, but it's a more conversation where they just feel in a safe space and are just opening up.
That's right. I ask them lots of questions and I want to hear from them. And once one of them's brave enough to get the conversation started, it just doesn't stop. And especially the younger ones, they just don't stop, like the year sevens and eights yesterday. And I think there is a sense of their eyes are kind of being open to this sort of stuff and how else they could be in the world. And that's my heart for them is that they would feel confident. And I say to them, you know, like, we've just celebrated Anzac Day, and I think it's great that we celebrate courage, you know, for those who have fallen. And I think it's great that in this country we celebrate courage on the sporting field. But I'm appealing to their best natures and saying to them, let's show courage in our interpersonal relationships, calling out the bad stuff, modelling the good stuff, and setting a new standard for them in their schools.
Yeah, so good, Daniel. Can I put you on hold? We'll come back and wrap things up. 98.5 Weekdays with Mike. Daniel from Collective Shout is on the line with us from Tasmania. Now, you mentioned you've just arrived down there, Daniel, in Tassie. What does the next few weeks look like in Tassie?
Yeah, so I've got a week here, which I'm delighted about. So it'll be some school engagement, some church groups, as well as just trying to stay warm and eat apples in between it all. So, yeah, looking forward to it all.
Of course, because it gets pretty cold down there, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it'll be 11 degrees by next weekend during the day, but yeah,
oh, wow.
So looking forward to it. It's my first time actually, engaging with schools here in Tassie, so I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
Now, well done. Now, just to finish off today, you're based in Perth. You're going to be back in Perth in June.
1st of June, yep. Yeah.
And this is where you go around to different schools and different church youth groups, I would imagine, as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Pretty much whoever will have me. Yeah, happy to engage with any community of any size or scale and have these conversations either with your young men or young adults or men my own age. It's obviously a conversation that we all continue to have and continue to grow and mature in. So, yeah, very much looking forward to that and would welcome any opportunities to engage with schools back in Perth. I think we've got 6 or 7 already in the calendar so far.
Okay.
So looking forward to, engaging with even more, hopefully.
Now, I'd imagine challenging for a lot of schools, even fitting that time into their current schedule, because they kind of map that out at the start of the year. But so how long, like what sort of, with a session you do, what sort of time frame, like how what those session with the boys, how long would they go for roughly?
Sure. So if it's just a presentation, which is this interactive where we talk a lot, we need about 50 minutes minimum, can go up to 75, depending how much Q&A we do and how much we kind of massage out the issues and talk through them.
Yep.
And then from there, we can do a follow-up workshop that could take anywhere between kind of 25 to 45 minutes, where we then unpack these issues about what does it look like to be a good man and how does a good man, treat women.
Mm.
That's kind of the time frame, and obviously we tailor it to what schools and other organisations need.
Okay, and plus you do, and also just to finish off, you also run sessions for parents as well that can be facilitated as well.
That's right, and some of ours in Perth will be available to the public and to community, so even if it's not the school that you send your children to, you'd be more than welcome to register and come along, and we'll make those details available, and obviously people will find that through the 98 site if they then come onto ours.
Perfect, Daniel. Daniel, really appreciate talking to you today. And if you want to get some more details on where Daniel is available to come out to your school, you may be part of a school, or you may know someone that's involved in that school, you can head online to our website, 98five.com, and you can follow the links there through to Collective Shout and get all the details.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98.5. 98five.com.